Song with me there. I thought it was too good to pass up when you have a song that is the words of the passage that we're talking about this morning. I just thought I can't pass this up. So Madeline tried to fix it by putting it to Amazing Grace. Everything's better if it's to the tune of Amazing Grace. So if you want to take out your Bible, the Pew Bible, if you didn't bring one, and turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55 is where we're spending our time mostly this morning. So I invite you to turn there. But as you're doing that, let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you so much for your presence and your faithfulness to us. We thank you for bringing each of us here, and we pray that you would begin to as you have already been doing throughout this service, that you would begin to speak to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, as you have gathered, if you're keeping track at home, we are in the third week of Advent. I believe that's already been mentioned. And as you might have gathered from our candle reading, or if you're a very astute reader of the bulletin, if you looked at the cover, or if you're very astute, you might observe part of our theme for the day is joy. Okay, some of you picked up on that. It's very good. But joy is an interesting topic, because when we think about joy, we often contrast joy with happiness, right? You know, happiness is a kind of a good feeling we have. It's the result of positive external circumstances that result in a good feeling, but it could be very kind of a fleeting thing. Whereas joy is something that's much more lasting. It stays with us regardless of our external circumstances. Right, it's deeper than that. So it doesn't mean that you'll never be sad or that you'll never have bad times, but there's a peace and a confidence that is deeper than those negative circumstances, and that's what joy is. That's what we're talking about. And this week is also, as you heard again in our Advent, or if you were as we the passage that we just sang and was read earlier. This is a Sunday when we think about Mary. This passage is actually called Mary's Song. And that might be, if you have look in your Bible, that might be a chapter title or a paragraph title for this, Mary's Song. Or if it's a really cool translation, it might even have the Latin phrase, the Magnificat, which is a Latin that makes everything cooler. This is an important passage. And a lot of other traditions, Anglicans, Roman Catholics, would pray this prayer regularly. They would pray this prayer regularly, almost maybe every day, and this is something that's very old tradition within the history of the church over the last 2,000 years. And so if it's been that significant for that long, it might be helpful for us to spend some time looking at it this morning and see what it has to teach us. But actually, I think that these two things, of thinking of joy and Mary on the same Sunday is a very good match. It's funny how that works sometimes. It's almost like someone's planning this, you know? But these things fit together very well because in this passage, Mary gives us a perfect example of what joy is, and I think gives us some insight into what brings that about, what brings that type of deep joy about in our lives. So in order to get a better picture of this, we've got to understand something about Mary's situation, right? Earlier in the chapter, she's already been visited by the angel of the Lord. This is a very familiar story. The angel of the Lord tells her she's going to become pregnant and give birth to the Son of God. And then she has now left her hometown, and she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. And Elizabeth greets her and says, kind of in summary, "Wow, that is so great. This is fantastic, and I'm glad you're here." And then this is Mary's response. Our passage is Mary's response to Elizabeth in that greeting. But when we think more deeply about her situation, you see that Mary has plenty of reason not to be joyful. She has plenty of reason to be nervous, right? I mean, she's from the way it looks to everyone else, right? This is what Joseph is going to think, that she's committed adultery, right? She's married, but she's not, and Joseph knows this isn't his baby, so he's going to be thinking, well, what's going on here? So this is something that could bring about, to everyone else, would look like it's something that should bring about a tremendous amount of shame. as something for which, in this time, she might have even been stoned. That was a possibility. So this had to make her a little more nervous. In verse 36, it says, I kind of wonder if this is why she left. She says that she arose and went in a hurry to the hill country. She had plenty of reason to be anxious. And yet we find here in verse 46, she expresses the most joyful and exuberant words of praise to the Lord. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And when she says that, my soul or my spirit, she's talking about the depth from which she feels this feeling of praise and joy. I mean, the word rejoice is actually just it's a verb form of the word joy, right? So when she's talking about this, the depth from which she feels this joy, this is the type of joy she's experiencing despite her difficult circumstances. So where does that joy come from? Well, in her hymn, I see three aspects of what I think, part of what I think causes that joy. And each one kind of builds on the next. And the first is that she simply recognizes what it is that God has done for her and for the world. He's fulfilled his promise that he made to Israel. In verse 54, she says, "He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." So the good news is that God is fulfilling his promise and working out the salvation of all people. God is providing a way for salvation for the entire world, and she even recognizes that this mercy that God is giving is not just for her generation or the next one, but it's for all generations to come. As she says in verse 50, "And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him." In other words, what brings Mary joy is the knowledge of the good news that God is faithful and is providing a way of salvation for all people. That's good news, amen? That's what she says here. It always cracks me up when I think about this passage. I think I've mentioned this before, but I always think of that. You know the song by Mark Lowry? That Mary, did you know? You're like, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy..." You know all the rest. But what cracks me up about that song is when I think about this passage, I think, you know, "Mary, did you know?" It's like, of course she did. Of course she knew. The angel told her earlier, right, in the chapter, and then she repeats it back to her cousin right here. Why do we have this song, you know? Actually, I like that song. It's a good song. Anyway. But that's the first. So, but then the second aspect of what brings her joy is that not only has God provided a way of salvation for all people, is that she has a role in that. See, God thinks so much of her that he's allowing her to take part in his mission of salvation of the world. In fact, she has a pretty big time role in it, right? I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that. Actually, it was Mark Lowry who wrote that "Mary, Did You Know" song. He said one time something about, he said, "Did you know Mary was the first one to ever carry the gospel? I mean, did you know that?" So I thought that was good. Anyway, but she recognizes this. She recognizes both the love that God has bestowed on her and the privilege that it is to serve him. In verse 48, she says, "For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time all generations will count me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." So her joy comes from the fact that she recognizes that the Lord has called her to something important in bringing about the salvation of the world. The Lord's allowed her to participate in that. And then finally, I think that her joy comes not only from the fact that she recognizes that the Lord has a calling on her life, but that she's actually said yes to that. She's living in obedience to that calling. Because if you think about it, she could have done otherwise, right? She's totally capable of doing otherwise. But she acknowledges herself as a servant of the Lord and her responsibility to serve him. I've often thought, you know, if it had been up to me, it wouldn't have happened. Because the angel of the Lord would have appeared and I would have said, "You need to find someone else. You need to keep looking." And the whole salvation of the world project would have been put on pause while the Lord found someone else to do it. But Mary didn't do that. She humbly recognized herself as the Lord's servant and in fact was honored to serve him with her life. And so that's what brings her joy, is recognizing the Lord's work of salvation for the world, that she has a role in that salvation, and then choosing to be obedient, to live in obedience to that role. That brings joy in her life. So what about us? What does this mean for us as we think about living a joy-filled life? Well, I think that joy, in reality, really comes still from those same places that Mary demonstrated. True lasting joy, we experience true lasting joy when we recognize what God has done for us. Joy comes from recognizing the glorious good news of salvation provided to us by Jesus. And if you think about it, as much as I was making fun of that song, we know more about the good news than Mary did, right? I mean, we've read the rest of the book, right? So we know more about it. We have more reason to be joyful. And we have a better understanding of the restoration of relationship that with God that salvation is offered to each one of us. And second, just like Mary, joy comes from the understanding that God has called each of us to participate in his mission. Now, for each of us, it might not look the same as it did for Mary. As I said, it doesn't get any more big time than giving birth to the Savior. So no one else here will be called to do that. But it is no less true that each of us are called to be a part of sharing the gospel with the world and with generations that are yet to come, just as she was. Each of us, everyone here, is given spiritual gifts. If you're following Christ, you have spiritual gifts. You have natural talents. You have abilities. You have relationships which we can use to bring glory to God and share the gospel with other people. So I don't know what your particular calling might be. It could be something that others would look at and say, wow, that is a huge calling from the Lord. That is really impressive, big time stuff. Or it could be something that will go unnoticed by everyone else. It could be anything. Maybe there's something specific that the Lord is calling you to do, and you know what that is. Maybe there isn't right now. But maybe the Lord just desires for you to live faithful, to live as a faithful follower, doing whatever's right in front of you. Some of you, I know we have several visitors today, but for those of you who are here regularly, you might remember about a year ago, we handed out these magnets that said, the little refrigerator magnets that said on them, Lord, what do you want to do through me? And we put them on our refrigerators and we just, to remind ourselves to ask that question, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Is there something that you're calling me to do? And what is that? So that's part of it, asking Lord, what is it? What is your calling for me? What is it that you want me to do? Yesterday, we had a wonderful time at our neighborhood Christmas party. How many were here, attended, or helped with that? Okay, thank you for your help, all those of you that participated or were here. It was a very good time. And I had a conversation yesterday that during that neighborhood Christmas thing that made me think of exactly what I'm talking about here. And that many of you know, she might be a little bit embarrassed, but many of you know Aileen Githens. If you don't know Aileen, you're missing out, so you should. But I had the opportunity, we sat down and talked for a little bit, and Aileen, it's one of the things she does is she spends all year, she'll be shopping for decorations and things for this neighborhood Christmas, you know, whether it's wreaths or lights or particularly the artificial trees that we give away. She'll be shopping for these all year, and she'll bring them in. And as we were sitting there eating, I was eating anyway. So we're sitting there, and she says to me that she does this because she really feels that this is something that the Lord has called her to do. That going out to yard sales and looking for these things all year long, this is something that the Lord has called her to do, and so she does it. And I said, it must be very much a calling for a woman who previously owned a Christmas tree farm to purchase artificial Christmas trees, you know it has to be the Lord, you know? But that idea of what she's talking about, that the Lord calling her to do this thing, to go yard sailing. I know some of you, maybe you're like, man, I could get that calling. Like that's, you know. But see, because the fact of the matter is that God has a calling for each one of us. And it doesn't mean that we will be missionaries thousands of miles away, Though for some of us, for some in here, maybe it does mean that. You know, maybe it does mean that. I'm sure that in a room this size, for someone probably it does mean that. But for some of us, it might just mean serving wherever we are. Whatever it is that the Lord puts in front of us, laying it on our hearts, that we're called to do. And so finally, I think that we too, just like Mary, have the opportunity to not only experience that calling, but then to live in obedience to it. And that's what brings a real source of joy. I don't know if it's okay to have a favorite line in the communion liturgy. Is that okay, Tom? Can I have a favorite line? Okay. He says okay. I have a favorite line in the communion liturgy, and it's this part that comes in the prayer of confession. Right before we're praying this prayer of confession, right at the end of the prayer of confession, we pray this part. We say, free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that might actually, in our society, I think that might sound a little bit counterintuitive. To be freed for joyful obedience? That doesn't sound right. But I think the idea of joyful obedience here, it's this idea of being freed. That line in that prayer comes both from both being freed from the bondage of sin that weighs us down and causes us to be ashamed. It's talking about being freed from that in order that we might live joyfully in obedience. Now, for those of you who were here last week, you remember that Pastor Tom talked about Advent as a great time to really to deal with the stuff in our lives that gets in the way of Christ coming, that gets in the way of Christ coming more fully into our lives. There's sometimes just stuff that builds up, whether it's sin or whatever it is, and Advent is a great time to deal with that, to clear some of that out. So there's that type of obedience. I think that prayer refers to, it refers to not doing the things that we shouldn't be doing, right? And then I think that the line in the prayer refers to the type of joy that comes from following in obedience to wherever it is that Christ leads us. There's a joy that comes from that. That's what we see from Mary. And so Advent, I think, is also a great time as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birth by asking the Lord, what is it you want to do through me? What is it you want to do through me? And then determining ahead of time that whatever it is the Lord leads us to, we're going to do it. We're going to follow in obedience wherever it is that God leads us. There's a tremendous amount of joy for that. Some of you, maybe you actually knew what I was talking about. You're like, you felt the Lord leading you to do something and you've just, you know, kind of been resisting, and you're like, you don't have to think about it. You know what that thing is. Whatever it is, you know, do we follow that calling? Are we obedient to follow wherever it is that God leads us? Because so true and lasting joy comes from recognizing the gift that God has given us and the salvation that comes from Jesus. Then discovering our calling within God's mission and living in obedience to him in that calling. If we live lives with an awareness of the calling that God has given us and live in obedience to that calling, then we, like with Mary, we can say, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And in that way, we can experience the joy, the true joy that Jesus has for us in the Christian life. And that is truly something for which we can be joyful. Thanks be to God.